You know how we always talk crap about the Tacoma having drum brakes all the way up until this newest generation?
Mm-hmm.
This newest generation is getting a recall because too much dirt gets in the disc brakes in the back. It has to be recalled.
That's funny.
They're just starting the recall now through the National Highway Traffic Safety because it gets too much dirt in the brakes. Which is just the best thing I've ever heard. There's some engineer.
It says dirt and mud can build up between the wheel and the brake line.
Yeah, on the ones with the 16-inch brakes and 17 or 18-inch wheels. So
interesting.
And I know it's not exactly the same as the reason they give for, you know, oh yeah, you definitely want to use drum brakes in the rear of a Tacoma.
Well,
but
I will,
guess it's really funny that, that just
every person on the internet has been upset about those drum brakes for the last 5 years,
forever.
Right? Or 6 years.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they switch it out and boom, that happens. That's yep. great.
That makes me laugh.
It is pretty funny. I only read it a little bit of the oversight. So I was going to say there is a Toyota news that I wanted to bring up that's kind of cool. And Colin might have seen this since he was looking at Expedition Portal. But the LX700 is all over the internet right now. And I started looking into it or like reading the articles. It's fine. It's a 300 series Land Cruiser, you know, that's a Lexus. And it's definitely a, you know, soccer mom vehicle or soccer dad vehicle.
Yeah.
You know,
as a 2025
soccer person,
a soccer person vehicle,
soccer parent.
But they have the overtrail version, which is, kind of interesting because it has a front locker.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which I had to read like two or three times. I was like, are you really? It's got a front locker. And so as far as I can tell, it is front and rear locker.
Is it selectable
like
or is it
hybrid? Hybrid assist. It's gnarly. Yeah. It's also like
triple differential lock right
money.
Here.
Wow. Yeah.
33s on 18s and triple locked.
But the whole front end hangs down to like below the center line of the tire.
I mean, that's pretty common in the newer, in those new ones. They just cut the whole bumper off like into the grill, basically.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy, though. I mean,
yeah.
What a
room
crazy
for
35s,
it says.
That. Oh, interesting.
Additional half to 1 inch can be achieved with the auto extract mode when the vehicle senses that's grounded. Oh, so it's got, yeah. So welcome to Land Rover's technology fucking 10 years ago. But more than that,
15
years ago.
I was going to say, yeah, my 2017, do I have a 17 or 18 Trailhawk Grand Cherokee could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the LR3s were doing that, so.
Oh, that's funny.
Let's see. What else does it say? Oh, it can, for example, an 8,000-pound trailer can easily have a tongue weight of 8 to 16%. Yeah, yeah. What is this even? Oh, maximum payload is needed. Okay, so payload 1322. Yada, yada, yada. 17-gallon, so 18-gallon tank. 19 miles to the gallon in the city, it says. Claims reasonable hybrid fuel economy.
Well, and it's probably a four-cylinder turbo with a hybrid, right? Isn't that the everything is right now?
Curiously, the LX600 has a 21.4-gallon tank.
Interesting.
So what were you saying, Sean?
My assumption is it's the 3.5 V6.
Oh, okay.
It's that same larger chassis. Probably confirm that while I yell out that it's saying.
No. We don't make accurate statements here. We make wild accusations and hope for the best.
112-inch wheelbase.
4 liter. Interesting.
The LX is not a rock crawler. It never has been. But it's ready to overcome any reasonable road or trail condition around the world.
That's funny.
You could drive it, but the rocks better be small.
Oh, man.
$114,000.
$114.
That's big money.
Yeah, that's Range Rover money right there, buddy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Range Rover money. It's wow. G-Wagon. Well, it's not quite G-Wagon money, but it's up there. But those are yeah. what it's running up against. But I mean, what, like, what is the, that's the highest option one. So like, what's the highest option that's not an autobiography Range Rover?
Like, oh, I mean, they're like in the 90s to, I mean, everything seems to hover right around 100. So
yeah.
Starts, so electric hybrid, I guess it doesn't really matter that's the hybrid one, but we'll just click it just because. Explore. Sure is pretty.
From the side there, that front chin thing doesn't look as aggressive as it does from the front. From the front, it just looks like it's 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, hybrid. Hybrid Range Rover is only available in autobiography, I think. Oh, no, there's an SE. Get SE starts at 108.
Yeah, see, so
autobiography starts at 151. SV mm-hmm. starts at a cool 209.
Yeah, but if you wait, you know, 10 years, it's going to be like 15,000. So, yeah.
Well, the Lexus will be 100.
Yeah, way better off buying a used Range Rover. I'm telling you,
I don't, you know, I believe you. Completely, actually.
I mean, if I was actually going to off-road it between these two, I would buy the Lexus probably if I was in some weird position where I was considering the two of them. But if I was doing it based on looks and just overall appeal, Range Rover every time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would never want to take a 25, I mean, maybe in 15 years I will, but like right now, 25 Range Rover, that's a street vehicle.
Yes.
There's no, if it sees a gravel driveway, it would be very rare, I would think.
Interesting. Well, I mean, that's pretty cool. So that adds one vehicle to the vehicles that have factory
front triple locks
and rear lockers as far yeah. as new vehicles go.
Yeah.
So there's a whole three now.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Only three?
Yeah. This, the Rubicon, and a ZR2 Colorado.
What about the Bronco Raptor? I thought they had a front locker.
Broncos do have front lockers. You're right. Yeah. I don't know about the Raptor, but I know that the other ones you can get it for sure. But I'm sure Raptor does as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think there's four.
What about ZR2 Bison, like 1500 and 2500? No front locker in those, right?
Those ones I don't think have it, if I remember correctly.
Look that up, Jamie.
Okay, so I confirm that the Bronco has an optional front locker. Okay, so that I wasn't aware of.
Does it change your opinion of them?
I still think they're ugly.
You can get it in a base model. That was like one of the big things about the first... Like when they first came out, everybody was like, oh my God, you can get a stripped down two door with lockers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's 470 true. Gears.
Yeah. So it's optional on, so you can add it, but then, it's standard on the Badland, Wild Track, and First Edition models.
Okay.
So now what was your next thing? Something about a 1500?
Yeah. The, like, GMC and Silverado 1500 ZR2s. Are those no front locker?
I felt like they weren't, but I'm not positive.
Wrong. Well, I know the follow-up to this, which is a bunch of Ford products have... It does.
Has okay, both so we're front and rear. List. So there we go, right. Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's a ZR2. Why would the full-size ZR2 not have...
I have another one. Power Wagon.
Yeah, the Ram Power Wagon.
Yep. Definitely. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, the list is growing.
The list is growing. Because for a long time there, it was like, you'd be lucky to get a rear locker and something. So.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm with you there.
Hmm.
Unless you're looking for a Honda Passport.
Right. Which.
Which is a rear locker, but only up to 20 miles an hour. Up to
20.
Yeah, that's fine. I think, you know. Why would you need to go over 20 with your rear locker on?
No, you're right.
Drifting.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Oh, yeah.
See?
So that Honda's out. There's no way. Haley's never getting one
can't
of those.
Drift that now.
Yeah, that's stupid. Hey, if you kick that screen share off, I can share something that is not front locked, but is like it's front locked.
Mm-hmm.
What's like
is it? Like it's front locked. That's an interesting statement.
Isn't it weird? Think about that for a second while I pop this little guy up.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Is it single electric in the front or is it dual electric in the front?
So they, up until very recently, they were available as four motor. Most of them are tri-motor now. So it's a single motor in the front and it has like some torque vectoring thing, I think. But previously they were like four individual electric motors. So it's like it's front locked.
Yeah.
This is the Dune limited edition.
Ooh, dude.
Which I did not read any further than it has cool wheels because it
does. And Max tracks on top.
Great color, great wheels. That's it. What else does it need?
Do the rear brakes work if you go through some mud?
It doesn't matter because you don't need them.
Don't need rear brakes?
Yeah, one pedal drive this thing. It's okay.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't
look
seem
it.
Like...
Look at how awesome it is.
Yeah, I do. I don't like the black wheels as much as the color. What are the color match to the other ones?
Me either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are, this is tri-motor. One in the front, two in the back. 850 horsepower, 1,100 pound-feet of torque.
Is that it?
That's it. Just a, ooh, and a nice little two-tone interior.
That's
I love
nice.
Two-tone interiors, but that's cool. Cool rig.
I'm not mad at it.
I love that look there for sure, though.
The way we're talking about, well, we can get into it now, I guess. So we sold Haley's car.
You know what? Before you do that,
yeah.
Welcome to the Campfire Passport Podcast.
I thought that's where you were going with that.
I didn't know.
I was thinking about it too, and then when you told him to stop, I knew right away that's where this was headed.
Never know when it's coming. It could be any time.
So you sold a car to a dealership.
Yeah. So the ghosts comment. So Haley's car had ghosts.
Interject for 1 second.
Yeah.
I don't want to boldly claim anything, but I don't think ghosts are real. Just so we're.
You and Honda would be disagreeing.
Is there a TSB out on CRVs for ghosts?
There's a dealership write-up that somebody had and posted, and it's like on Honda letterhead that they have what they're calling electrical gremlins or electronic ghosts in certain Honda CRVs. And so it's like actually part of the explanation of what is going on. So her car would occasionally get every light on the dash and it would scroll through them. So it wouldn't all stay on. It would be like the airbags don't work. And then they do again, but now your traction control won't work. And then it does again. And now your brakes won't work. And it would scroll through them. It wouldn't just have all of them on. And then her brightness on her dash and display for her radio and stuff would just go all the way to the top. Super bright, and then all the way to dim, and then all the way off, although everything was still working, and then come back and do it over again. And it did a couple of different things, and then it had a slow start, and then it we brought it in to see Tyson, and he put it on the scanner, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing at all wrong with it. So there's basically like this hard reset you do, because none of the codes that are showing up on the dash are showing up on, you know, a Snap-on scan tool.
Okay.
You do a hard reset, he comes back, and then you're fine again for however long you're fine until the ghosts decide to do it again. But this is like the third time it's happened on her car. And so...
We talked about this before. Does it affect drivability or is it just...
No.
So it's not... Okay, yeah. It's
doesn't affect
like
drivability
flashing
at all.
And saying
yeah.
Everything's wacky even though it's not.
Exactly. Okay. But the only thing it affects drivability wise is cruise control, because it won't allow that to happen with certain speed sensor issues and all the other things. So, but she was doing that and she's like, we'll get it, you know, scanned and we'll do it again. And you know, it'll be fine again for another 6 months, a year, whatever, how long it took since last time. But then she took my son and his cousin to jujitsu, and they can both reach her from the back seat now. And okay. She's like, fuck this. We're getting a bigger car. We need more room. I'm not going to deal with these kids need to be able to get in and out on their own. And I don't want them kicking my seat, and I don't want this. And she's just like, the car's already broken. It has ghosts. We're getting rid of it. And so I was like, well, I don't know. Let's see what it's worth and how much we owe on it and all that. And I pulled it up on Kelly Blue Book, and they're like, we can give you a buy it now offer. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. We'll see what that is. And it was like more than I thought the car was worth from that offer. And I'm like, well, that's odd. I guess these are holding their values better than I thought. And then Kendall called and said, we'd like to see it, but we'll beat that offer that you got on Kelly Blue Book. And so they came in about $2,000 higher than the Kelly Blue Book offer. Okay. And I said, oh, wow. And then the Hyundai dealership called, and I was like, oh, we're already at Toyota, and they already offered us this. And they said, we'll beat that by $500. And the guy at Toyota said, we'll match it. And I was like, well, we're already here. So apparently people really want these cars.
Yeah. Everybody but you.
Yeah, except us. Well, we know about the ghosts. Nobody else is apparently aware of the ghosts. So now we're looking into a stopgap. The whole thought is we were going to hold on to the Honda for another 4 or 5 years until something with a good, reliable plug-in hybrid or something good and reliable electric that fits our needs, is the sizes we want, and is proven enough that we're, you know, excited about it. And there really isn't a Tahoe or similar size plug-in hybrid that we like in the price range we want to be in. And it just doesn't fit anything yet, and we're hoping that it'll happen. So until then, we're going to spend $6,000 or $7,000 on something smaller and something cheaper with no payment and bigger, so that she doesn't have to be kicked by children in the seat. And I think we've settled on a few different things. And I'm going to screen share.
And... are we going to vote?
Oh, no. You guys have...
Oh, so I have to say, so that anybody listening to this will understand or will like have this set up properly. Yesterday at, I don't know, it must have been early afternoon, Mike proposes this conundrum to our group of friends. And anytime this happens, everything just falls apart, because everybody has the craziest ideas like this.
Oh yeah.
It amazes me the things that people suggest in our friend group for things. Oh, yeah. Like, hey, I need a reliable daily driver that's a little bigger than what I've got. And then like I come in, or Luke comes in with like, have you thought about a Cayenne? Oh, right? No. Have you thought about a supercharged Range Rover? It just, keeps going into all these things when, by all like reasonable people accounts, I'd be looking at like a Subaru Ascent or like a Pilot or something. Tyson at one point says, you could just, whatever we were talking about, Armada or something, you just cut that out and put 40s on it. That's not what we're doing here.
He's like, I forgot this was for Haley.
Yeah. So Sean, the first text was at 6:32 PM.
Yeah.
And okay, then
you guys went off for a little while,
until, let's see, final text was at 10:23 PM.
Yeah.
So 11:20 for me, by the way, which is why I didn't respond.
Yeah. Well, and I did Miles's bedtime routine in the middle of that. So like you guys were just going for a little while without me. And I came back and I was like, oh, wow, they didn't stop yet. Okay. But so this was a recommendation from some portions of the group. Haley is not particularly interested, mostly because it's going to be difficult to, and I know it's probably not exactly this version, but it's similar in
sizes. That's a sport.
Sizes. Yeah, I know. But she's also not.
The sport is no bigger than an LR3 or LR4.
I know.
Because so that's the problem. It is literally an LR3, LR4, just with a different body.
That's why she poo-pooed this one. It doesn't have a rear or like a third row or a third row option.
Correct. The Range Rovers don't.
So that was why. So this one was out. But then.
Okay, hold on. What is it? Explain for people not watching.
It's a 10 Range Rover Sport.
Yep. Supercharged.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, that was cool. An important thing for other people.
That should be, if it's a 10, it's gotta be fast, is it a 5 liter?
Yeah, it was.
Yep. That one is too.
But this is another, so another option in a similar situation, you know, the other one, the 2010 was saying it was leaking coolant and they put $6,000 into it in the last 3 years and all the other stuff. But Haley just wasn't super into them, so we bounced past that. Then we jumped into other things that she was kind of interested in, like a disco, because it has the jump seat, and they look kind of cool. And she's like, oh, they do look cool. And so we talked about things like this, and I'm not against it, but she hasn't sat in one yet, and she doesn't know what she's like feeling about them yet.
Before, and I'll say it again, they have the best driving position ever. I do not think that's much bigger than a CRV inside, but I could be wrong.
I think they're wider.
I'm pretty sure they're, and it'll feel a lot bigger because the roof is so tall as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, there's more leg room here by a long shot than in her car. Because in her car, my legs can touch both.
It's a standard size SUV spatially. Yeah. It's not a sub SUV, subcompact SUV, or whatever you want to call it. You know, so yeah, there isn't any less or more space in this than there is like an 80 series.
But
like,
I'll tell you,
it looks similar.
Flat out on this thing, there's more headroom. There's more room side to side. It's wider because the CRV kind of does that taper up, so your shoulders are touching the outside windows. And this is the big square. And so not out of the question, but we're going to be real with everybody and tell you what we're actually going to go look at tomorrow. Is just a Tahoe, the 2007 Chevy Tahoe. It's got a 5.3 LS 4L60. There's nothing about it that is exciting except that I can do everything. I can replace the transmission. I know that the kids can dance around in the back seat. Haley's going to have her heated seats that she wants. We're going to have to do remote start on it and do something so she can have Apple CarPlay, because those are the only three things she asked for, aside from size upgrade. So this is the plan.
And I'll bet you it's got airbags in the back that you were complaining about. No, something else that would potentially leak.
The LT has LT has coils. You have to get into a Yukon or a Escalade.
So you're getting the base model of Ryan's car, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's the base model,
the lower level model.
It's still leather interior and heated seats and all that stuff, but it doesn't have DVD players, because in 2007 that's what they had as their upgrades, was a rear infotainment system and all the other crap that I don't think is necessary. But we're gonna go look at that tomorrow. I'm gonna offer them $6,500, and Haley will be able to drive it for the next 3 or 4 years. And if it needs an engine, I can get a $600 engine. And if it needs a transmission, I can get a $500 transmission. And if it, electronics start going out, she just doesn't get to use that window anymore. But it's not going to be as exciting. It'll definitely be easier on me when I have to be the warranty for this thing. So, and hopefully there's no ghosts. That's my big hope on this, that there won't be
that's
any.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Ghostless.
Miles had a ghost fear for a while, where he would not go to bed early because he'd say that I'm scared that there's going to be ghosts in the house, Dad. And I said, no, there's not any ghosts. And he's like, well, one of the kids was talking about a Pennywise clown. And I've heard that if you have a mirror in your room, their ghosts can come through it. I said, well, you don't have any mirrors in your room. He goes, well, there's one in the bathroom. I said, everybody has a mirror in their bathroom. Are there ghosts in every house? And he's going back and forth and back and forth. And I said, hey, do you know the movie Ghostbusters? And he's like, yeah. And I said, do you know what I used to do before I was in the Marine Corps? And he went, oh. And Haley's like, I don't think you should lie to him about this stuff. And I said, if it's going to make him go to bed early and he's not afraid of ghosts right now, I'm going to lie to this kid all day. So he thinks that I might have been, in a previous career or profession, a Ghostbuster.
Makes sense.
So he made me recite the whole song. He's like, oh, yeah, do you know the whole song? And I was like, oh, yeah, I do.
Test me.
We have to sing it when we go through the door at work. I mean, yeah, what do you mean?
It's required. You can't go down the fireman's pole without at least a
you have to
Ghostbusters.
Voice that first, and then.
It's funny. And well,
the ectoplasm. No.
I was going to say, I think that's probably the smart choice, unfortunately. It's very boring, but it's smart.
I know, but it's going to work.
I also want to point out that I was right on the legroom, because I did a little look in LR2. Rear leg room, 36.4 inches.
LR2?
CRV. Sorry.
LR2 is a Freelander, buddy.
I did LR2. God dang it.
That's
Hold on.
Yeah, that's a smaller.
That's a Ford Escape is what that is, which is a small SUV. Right.
Probably a lot smaller than that Disco there, huh?
Let's look. It's probably
this
way closer.
This guy over here just lumping that crap into the same
thing. I mean, it's still.
There's so many
of
those.
We don't talk about the
online.
LR2. Those are not. That is not a Land Rover.
There are so many bricked ones for sale.
Still better. Okay. So, rear leg room, 37.3 inches, 18 CRV leg room, 40.4. So that's a significant difference.
Yeah.
What year was the CRV?
2019.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. So anyways, I just wanted to be right.
Yeah. But
I just wanted to be right.
We can move on.
Well, let's see. What's a Tahoe rear leg room?
More. Just more, yes.
Yeah. While he's fervently looking that up, I'm gonna
45. It has 39 inches of legroom in the rear seats.
Mm. More legroom than the rear seat of a Disco 2 in the third row.
In the third row.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if Sean or anybody has seen.
I haven't
this.
Seen this.
They have actual prices now for the 4Runner.
Oh
wait, how much? I like that title.
That's
this is the thing that I use at home all the time. Which way are we outraged here? Is this oh it's high.
Yeah. So base is like 42.2 and then TRD 48 and 50 to get up for the TRD Sport and TRD off road.
The fact that TRD Sport exists always makes me upset.
And then if you want a hybrid, you're looking at 61
limited. Hybrid Pros limited. Okay, 61. Oof.
Is another up to 68.
That's starting.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So that's high.
Crazy.
Yeah. Over 70 grand will be common.
And then they even mention in here when you could go get a Land Cruiser for 58 and a hybrid in the mid 60s, or you could get a GX 550.
Well,
for 65 as well.
That's strange pricing because the base Land Cruiser is also a hybrid.
Yeah. Why is the 4Runner so much more expensive?
Well, they came out early on that like they were going to position the Land Cruiser below the 4Runner. So there it is.
Why is that? Why would they make that change?
Because the 4Runner was more popular.
Oh.
So now, and they know they're going to sell more of them. So they're going to raise the price on it so that they can get more money.
Did you see all the stuff about how every other generation of 4Runner is ugly? So like, they're like, oh no, you guys are the ugly ones.
And they're like, you're the ugly one now.
What? Yeah. So this generation is supposed to be the ugly one. So the next one will be even better.
There we go.
And then also quickly on the Volkswagen podcast.
Good.
I almost got her into a Q7.
Audi's teasing a Q6 e-tron.
Whoa. Yeah. On portals?
Portals. Portals.
Whoa. Wow.
Kind of cool. But it's awfully tall.
Yeah.
It's very tall.
But it sure would be cool.
That is portally.
I mean, I'm not a lifted car fan, but like when something's like a stupid concept like this,
it's kind of
cool, especially if it gets used for something like you know, a Dakar or something like that. Yeah. Like this is like tailor made to be a Dakar car, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like I could see that in the future for sure. So boosts the torque at the wheel by 50%.
Well, yeah, I bet if they're running portals, it
reduces
has to gear
the
down.
Top speed.
I was gonna say
to 108, which is within Dakar speed limits.
Oh yeah,
so
I wonder what the electric speed limits are gonna be. Sufficient for off-roading is what it says about 108 miles an hour.
Man.
That is sufficient for off-roading.
The portal axis rate, the total torque to all wheel with a 10-second peak to 9,883 pound-feet.
Jesus.
It must be using, like, the crawl ratio into that. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
rad. Like, I used to see on, like, it's been on Pirate 4x4 or something, people would do the calculation of torque for like a doubler behind a whatever, mm-hmm. 22RE, and it would be something like, not quite like that, but like 6,000 pound-feet of torque, and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, I guess. I mean, the math is right, but...
yeah, go ahead and turn your 40s and see how many RPMs it takes. All the way up to
4 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, just something... kind of neat that I saw as I was scrolling, and I was like, oh, that's, you know, we're the Volkswagen podcast too, so that's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I sold a Volkswagen recently.
What?
That wasn't on the podcast. It was an Audi, but it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah. The Q5
already sold, huh?
Yeah. That sold the next day after I posted it.
There was no surprise there.
Well, that was the whole point. I wanted to...
When you were talking about how much money you got this for, and I said this, I told someone else not to blow up your spot with the amount of money you paid for something, and I'm not going to, but when you told me the amount,
right,
I said to you specifically, I remember standing there and saying, a broken Q5 is worth this amount of money, which is five times the amount that you paid, probably.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It was one of those things...
So one running is worth twice that, so...
I talked to the lady the whole time through Colin from Sounds Fast, not the one Colin, across the table from me. So I never talked to her in person, but I said multiple times, and Colin passed the word on. I was like, I don't think it's as broken as you think it is. Are you sure you want to do this? And she's like, I bought a Lexus. I want it out of my yard. I don't care. And I was like, I'll come get it out of your yard for the money that you asked for. But are you sure? Because I think I could probably fix it for you for that amount of money, and then you could sell it and make more. And she goes, nope, I just want it out of here. I don't want to see it anymore. I'm mad at it, kind of thing. And I'm like, okay. And I'll tell you what, guys, if you ever have an Audi that has all of the warning lights on, all of them at the same time, it is the battery. All those electronics on there are so sensitive that if your battery is not good, it doesn't have to be bad. But if it is not good, it's not getting the same values to all those sensors, and they're mad enough that they're going to throw all the warning lights, and it'll go into limp mode, and you'll get random misfires, and all these other things will happen. If you put a new battery in it, all of that goes away, and you get a great running car. It had under 100,000 miles, and I probably sold it for about $2,000 under what it's worth. I got a good enough deal on it that I wanted to give a good enough deal on it. When I originally heard about it and was, you know, making plans for it, I assumed it was going to have some other issues. I assumed it was going to either be like the high-pressure fuel pump follower, or it was going to have a PCV issue, because those are some notorious things on these that'll go wrong. Or it was going to have some sort of oil pressure issue, or the turbo was going to be shot or something. I assumed I was going to put some money into it, and I didn't. I put $1,000 worth of DMV... a battery, and I up the wheels. They were 18s. I went to 19s with some brand new Blizzaks on them that I bought used off of some guy that were actually like brand new. And so I put $1,000 into it, and I did pretty well on it, which means the Miata is going to finally get fixed.
There we go.
And maybe 40s about it.
I was like, hey, I think it was like, I might have like a high pressure fuel pump issue or something, nothing big.
Right.
And we were talking about the amount, and he was just like, that's a steal. Like, that's, you know, that's smart money. Like, no problem. And it's funny that it was nothing.
Yeah. Well, and when I was first thinking about it, I was like, I'll take the seats out and I could sell them for more than I got it. You know, I could part this thing out and do really well if I had to. I was going to have it detailed and do all this other stuff, and I never even did that. It was just a really wintry garbage day, and I drove it to Salem and back, and I was like, man, this thing's a tank in the snow. It's just, it was really, really good.
Great.
And I got like almost 30 miles to the gallon in a snowstorm driving 50, you know, when everybody else is doing 35 and passing people. And I'm like, this is so good. I should sell it to somebody who needs a winter car while it's very wintry. And super nice older lady bought it. It was really funny talking to her and her husband. He's like, yeah, you know, we have two cars right now, but we bought her. She had like a new Nissan something. It was a, I don't know, maybe it was the new, it wasn't a Rogue, something like that. It was not a off-roady looking Nissan, but it was like a brand new Nissan. And they put it on Turo, and they make too much money for her to drive it anymore. And so it was her car, and they put it on Turo, and they're like, well, you know, it's bringing in so much that it pays for itself plus. So they use the money that it's making to buy this. And so now she's going to drive this instead. And I'm like, you guys are clever. But she's apparently been driving the gentleman's quad cab, super extra long giant Dodge 3500 on 35s and tow mirrors that are twice as wide or something. He was talking about how big it was. And I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. Why she wouldn't want to drive that from Redmond to Bend every day. And she's since reached back out. She's like, hey, did you have a phone number for a detailing guy? I really want to get this thing cleaned up. And I was like, yeah, here's the guy I, you know, I was going to use. And here's what, you know, he was talking about charging. And I don't know, blah, blah, blah. It'll probably be this or this. And she's like, thank you very much. I love the car. It's so good. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Reach out if you need anything. But man, that was the luckiest. I guess sometimes it works to be known as the guy who's into buying broken cars.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah.
It turned out this time. That's for sure.
That is something that works so much better if you have a shop. People just give you things or say, I don't know, how about a couple $100s? And you go, great.
Yeah, I've got room in the shop.
You fix it and you sell it and, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
Without a shop, a little harder, but you got it. You got it figured out.
Yeah, I got two. I got
apparently
1.5 bays of space in my garage that is mine for using in that space, which is plenty.
Perfect. Yeah.
Closer to two than 1.5, I guess. 1.75, because the other outside wall is all storage for camping gear and stuff. But that's the other thing. When I got that thing sold, I had plans to, like, I budgeted time for working on it and cleaning things out and detailing the interior on my own and doing some other stuff. And it sold right away. And so all this time I had budgeted for all that, I was like, well, I'm going to clean out the garage, I guess. And I went into the garage and straightened up my workbench and cleaned out my spaces. And it's been weird. Now I'm waiting for parts to show up on the Miata so I can get that worked in. And then I'm going to bring it in to Max so I can get them to do the rack and pinion. Well, the rack and pinion, the boots are all torn and there's like a rebuild kit thing and some other stuff. And I just don't have ability to get it up high enough in my garage to make working on that reasonable. So,
yeah.
Okay. Kind of see.
Cool. What are you going to do? Did you actually figure out what was wrong with it, or are we still throwing parts at it?
Oh, no. We're throwing parts at it, but there are parts that it definitely needs. So I don't know that all of the issue is coming from it, but we definitely have an injector that just stays on and it floods the number 3 cylinder constantly. And every time that spark plug comes out, it is drenched. And it makes sense because it has a lopey, terrible idle. But once you get up to like 4,000 RPM where you're in a duty cycle, where having that much fuel is not that bad, it runs great. And it's got good compression when you use the right tools, and it's otherwise pretty good, but I need to get that fuel figured out beforehand. I did replace the relay for the fuel pump, so now it's not constant on, hardwired, which is, you know, a good thing.
Definitely.
So I'm just kind of checking things off the list, but if it doesn't run better enough after the injector, which we know it needs, at least then I can start sourcing what else is going on. because it'll idle well enough for me to figure out some more information.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Every time I go out in the garage, I just smile a little bit. It's my cheaper than therapy.
Well, for now. Yeah,
arguably probably. Not as good. No, I'm not saying it's as good, but cheaper, and it makes you smile.
Cool.
So anyway.
Did anybody watch any of the Hammers stuff?
Saw a little bit. I will admit that I don't follow it as well as I would like to. I did see that a side-by-side won the Hammers for the first time, which is exciting for side-by-side guys, I guess.
Everybody else?
Side-by-side owners rejoice.
Yeah, exactly. Front page of the news.
Yeah, and you know how big a side-by-side guys we are. You just ask Jesse.
Big side-by-side guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I saw that there was a lot of presence by Tate and all those guys at Gambler, which is cool.
Yeah. I got to watch a bit of it, like on a couple of lunch breaks, because you could do like the live stream
it's
of
not
it
a day,
on,
not a
on
day
YouTube.
Behind.
Yeah. And like Ian Johnson was one of the like commentators,
oh,
like
really?
Main oh, nice. Commentators for it. So that was interesting.
Guy Fieri.
But the off-road world.
Yeah.
But there was I watched a lot of like it somehow it timed out really well to almost always be watching the Everyman
mm-hmm.
series,
which was
pretty cool because it was a pretty wide spectrum of like vehicle types.
Didn't
and
Rudy whatnot. Build one for that?
I don't know. I didn't see him in the times that I was
okay.
watching. But it was just cool because like, and then like hearing about like some of the classes and how they like suss them out class wise. But I did see the end. So when I saw the end of it, there was this girl driver who I can't remember what her name was, but she was driving the car that her husband drove last year and won with. And she finished first, but then apparently after all the time
penalties
checks
and
penalties and whatnot, she ended up getting second.
Ouch.
So that kind of hurt because she was like, she had like a, it was like a 5 or 7 minute like buffer.
That's a lot of
and
penalties.
Somehow lost all of
Did
that.
Did she kill a guy out there?
I don't know. Like,
what
I don't
happened?
Know the details. I just like, saw like that she ended up in second like the next day,
man.
Like I saw that like they tried talking about it and I like barely caught what they were talking about and it was like, wow, that's that's gotta hurt,
man.
That's rough
to win, to you know, cross the line with that much in your back pocket and then somehow you've allotted that much penalty. Like that's,
well,
that was wild.
Did you guys see all the people not jump the jump very well?
Oh, man, that was
the
that's
on the infield?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, like, oof. Nobody had done that, and I saw the first person that did it because, like, he, like, stopped, like, you know, yeah, totally screwed it up, backed up, went forward a couple times to, like, get himself out and around it, and, like, Ian made a comment, like, wow, I haven't seen anybody do that yet. That's that's going to hurt, he says. And I was like, wow. And so nobody at all had done it until, like, late. It was like the actual race day or something like that. And it just happened to somebody off the start. It was weird. Like, I don't know what
Jeep truck,
the deal was.
So there was a JT Wrangler that was in, I think, like the 4600 class or the stock-ish class, right? He straight up just ran into the other wall. Came off the jump, ran straight into it, totaled the truck, done. Completely destroyed. And, like, not even close. Hit the bottom of the base of that ramp. Like, oh, man. I'll see if I can pull it up. It was amazing. He didn't. Gladiator fail. Here we go. So I'll share my screen here. Do you want to sign? Do you want me to sign you up for YouTube Premium? That's what it's asking.
No.
So this guy is doing his worst.
Oh my god!
Not even close.
Wow!
Oh my god!
Just not even close. And I'm not saying I'd have made it, but I would have gone a little faster.
Yeah, the guy that I saw, it was like a more of a buggy, like it was actual like race truck, and like you could tell that he like just set up off of the corner wrong, but you could tell that he then like realized it.
Yeah,
and like got slow enough that he like like came just short and then kind of had to work his way around.
This guy was maintaining a hot 35 miles an hour to try and clear a 30 foot jump, and it was never going to
not work
ever.
Yeah, there was a couple like outtakes like that that I saw where people were just eating it on that thing.
Yeah, just there's a couple side by sides I saw that just tagged it. There was. It was one of those great, great moments. Otherwise, though, I didn't see a lot. Chocolate Thunder looked like it was insane, just like always. But it seemed like there was less fights, which I don't know. That's a positive.
I guess that's a
of something.
Step in the right direction. But
gosh,
I saw one gnarly fight outbreak that I'm not impressed by. But I still stand that. You know, I would like to stand far away and watch it. Oh, coolest thing that happened there. I feel like we talked about this, but the Synergy Fab Ram, like,
toe rig, the full size
went up Chocolate Thunder. That was sweet.
Yeah. They're claiming first toe rig up the.
I saw it during the day and at night. They did both. So that was pretty cool.
No, I think that was sent in the group chat of the video of that.
Yeah. He put a door into a big rock.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But they did a walk around afterwards. I watched some video about it, and it, like, the suspension, the chassis, all the upgrades that they did turned out okay. And the door still opens and closes, but you kind of got to put your shoulder into it, sort of thing, apparently. But that's that's pretty cool, getting a full size, like, your actual tow rig.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then back on it.
Go ahead.
There's one more thing I want to talk about for King of the
Hammers. Yeah, go.
Our alumni of the podcast was there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ryan, and it looks like they had a rough time. So.
Did they try and hit
not
a jump?
Not uncommon with hammers, right?
Not uncommon. Yeah, they. It looks like they tumbled their truck pretty good. His little Instagram story on it was like, whoa. So I'm curious to see his insight on what happened.
That's not the rig that broke three out of four knuckles or
the one that there was that really early video of it rolling and breaking everything.
Oh, that UTV, holy crap, that was insane.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that, because they weren't in any UTV.
Gassing it and trying to do more and then more.
It was bad news. Yeah. Did you see the Bronco on portals that was stuck somewhere too? It like had like lost a knuckle. Blocked a whole trail apparently for it was like turkey claw or something for like quite a while. And they ended up having to, you know, bring parts back up there to fix the thing.
If only Broncos had front lockers.
I think this was a little bit of an overuse issue.
I'm just kidding. It's interesting. When you look at some of the rigs, you're like, okay, some of these are... So Rudy's off-road and design guy did build in a one day a Cherokee, an XJ, to go do the 4600 class.
I saw that.
So it was sponsored by Geolander Tires. I found it after we had chatted a little bit. And it broke and they couldn't finish, and it didn't turn out all that great. But there should be some cool content on it. I'm going to look for it later on and maybe talk back some more about it, because apparently they did all the safety equipment before they got out there, but then they built like the rest of the Jeep at Hammers before they went out and attempted to do Hammers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like under a awning out there. They did the whole thing.
Yeah.
I saw a couple clips of it.
I haven't watched it yet, but it looks like a cool idea, but it doesn't seem like it worked very well. So,
I think it didn't finish, but it looked like a cool rig.
Yeah. Well, I think the rig worked very well. I don't think that the race went well.
Yeah.
They broke some stuff and too much to overcome kind of thing.
Yeah. Here's just a quick little aside on that note, because I'm sure it was his first time racing Hammers.
Yeah, yeah.
According to information available, only a small percentage of first timers typically finish, and it's typically 15%. Ooh. 15% of first timers all time
steep curve.
Have finished. So great odds.
You 100% do not know what you're getting yourself into. Yeah.
That's rough.
Okay.
Not good.
Yeah. Oh man.
All right, I won't kill your transition this time, Colin.
Oh, well, I had a good transition and I don't have one anymore because you killed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'll just ask if you'd pay money for this.
Oh. Not for the applause. No, I get that for free.
Well, I bet you,
actually I get paid for it. I'm talking about my band life, not in podcast world.
Okay, let's see.
Let's just move right on.
We're moving on.
People love me, damn it.
Let's see. Where should I start?
The most, whichever is tallest at the tallest point.
Tallest at its tallest point.
Distance from the ground to the highest point.
Ooh, that's going to be a close one, actually. Ooh. I'm going to say it's this one, and then I'll work my way down.
We're not going to hold you to it. It's not going to be a problem. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so 22-1500 Rebel Knight Edition. With the Knight is not with a K, Jesse. It's just N-I-G-H-T, like nighttime. Super Pacific X1. Yeah.
Right.
Also not that, because that would be a Ford. It's, you know.
Engineered.
It's a newer 1500, and it's got a Super Pacific, and it's got red lights inside the Super Pacific.
Cool.
And it's some sort of
battery system. And it's got a 270 and a decked and.
Swing out tire carrier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's your full size overlander.
Like, drop the hammer here, and we're gonna find out it's got like a Whipple on it or something cool, or is this it?
Currently has 45,000 miles on it.
Okay.
With some changes coming with our business and personal life, I've decided to sell. It's got little tires.
Yeah. Little tire. Those have to be at least like 33s or 34s.
But again, this is like full overlander, full size guy.
Yeah.
Is basically what this is. Nope. Yeah. Just the 3-liter V6 Eco Diesel.
Oh.
260, diesel. 480.
Okay. You know, here's
the thing.
It's
21 to 29 miles to the gallon.
You don't have to tell people you have power steering and power windows in 2025. You can just fucking assume.
Hey, you cannot assume a thing, sir.
I would assume that if you're.
Power steering, just like, for sure. Maybe. But power steering, come on.
Tell me what you can buy in 2020, what is it, a 2024 that has manual windows?
You could definitely buy a manual window truck like that, but not with that package for sure. And definitely not a four-door. But a single cab one, maybe.
Yeah, because there's all kinds of fleet.
Yeah.
I think those are still vehicles that, automatic now.
I don't know. I feel like I've seen some new fleet vehicles and they're... They still had crankers.
You got to check out some railroad vehicles.
Yeah, vinyl interiors and crank windows, you know?
It doesn't look like any...
your point is valid.
According to Google AI, there are no 2022 or newer vehicles with manual windows.
That Google AI is lying to you. It is a known Liar.
Reddit says in 2022, the Silverado, which was the last vehicle with manual crank windows, ditches them.
For regular production vehicles, not fleet. Also, this is not a fleet vehicle. This is a rental, which means it's got all,
the fancy, stuff.
I still, let's see, does it even say fuel tank, 33 gallons. It doesn't give tire size. It just says Wild Peaks. Cool. Thanks.
They're reasonably sized.
I could tell that they were Wild Peaks. I don't, it's kind of more interested in finding out how tiny they were. It's got power steering. 85,000. So. Yeah. So,
yeah, you could turn them.
Well, so 85,000 for this thing.
Here's the thing I want to say. This is weird because if this was a Power Wagon, I'd be in 100%. Mm-hmm. All about it. The fact that it's a 1500 Ram, to me, like, just makes it so boring and lame. It's weird because they look almost the same. But it's a Rebel, Sean. It's still a 1500. They're kind of like the same size, too. So it's not even really a size thing. It's a straight axle lockers thing, I think. And a bigger engine. So, like, I'm a no on this. But weirdly enough, 2500 Power Wagon instead of this, in all day long.
What was the price on this? I didn't see that part.
It doesn't matter. But it's too much.
85. All included. So the Super Pacific, I mean, the Super Pacific's 13.
It's got quite a 12-volt system in it, too, it looks like.
Plus a 12, plus a fancy 12-volt.
Google what a 2022 Rebel cost. I bet they're like 45 grand.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was going to say 40, so yeah.
Oh, here we go. They are 35, 12, 5, 18s. That's why they look small, because they're on 18s. Mm-hmm.
So new.
Big mistake.
That was 51 grand. Let's see what a used one is right now.
But it's got a Super Pacific, a bigger fuel tank.
Yeah, you can get one for $37,000. In Bend, like, I don't have to go out of town to find a truck, and then $13,000. I mean, here's the thing:
132 amp hours of battery.
I think you add the parts up, and they still don't come to the amount he's got. I think they're overcharging by a lot. No, the answer is no. Even if it has power steering, and Sean, to your point, I looked according to Chevrolet, it costs 20% more for them to produce a crank window than it does an electric window now, which is why they were the last ones to do it, and they stopped doing it because it was a cost lose.
Hmm. So,
which is interesting.
For me, oh, that's on the back. Weird. I'm also a no because it's black.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can't. I mean, that's not the only reason, but for that's no, always my first thing that tells me no when it comes to
the 37.
A vehicle that you're going to use like this.
Yep.
Is like black is absolutely the worst color.
The 37,000 Rebel I found that you could probably get for 35 if you haggle a little bit is white.
There we go.
In Bend. See?
Perfect color.
Already better. But going back to some of Haley's car choice stuff that we've been looking at. I've, you know, scrolling through, I'm like, oh, I found something pretty good. And then the photo will load up and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to buy you a black car. She goes, oh, why not? I'll keep it clean. I said, no, you won't. Not clean enough.
Yeah, you won't be able to.
It's the problem. It's not that like you're doing anything wrong. I'm not going to buff it annually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want it. So no, nobody here will pay money for this.
Okay. All right.
And they paid too much.
The next tallest.
Is it including tent? Oh, yes.
88 Chevrolet G20 Custom.
Oh,
4x4 over space land. 14.5.
Speaking of small tires.
It's out in Forest Grove. Excellent build. Won't find another like it. 350, turbo 400, 33s, four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Van set onto Suburban 4x4 chassis. Runs and drives. Inside completely empty to build the way you want.
Yes.
Clean and clear title, no trades, cash only.
This is Raw Dog Plus. This is 11.
The tires look so small. Especially ridiculous. that one angle is so makes it look so funny.
That's I'm real confident.
This one. Why does it look so funny in that?
It looks like what's that caterpillar in A Bug's Life where he's just got the teeny tiny little legs and he goes, "Oh my goodness, what am I doing?"
Yeah, that is funky.
What axles are under that? Is it 6 lug or 8 lug? Can you tell?
Whatever on a
if it's on a Suburban, it should be a 6. It should be like a.
I mean, it doesn't say what year Suburban. So. I don't think it's a 1 ton. To be honest with you,
if it was a 1 ton Suburban, they'd have said,
"Yeah,
let's see."
So
enhance.
I think I'm also.
I can't tell how many lugs that is.
You're not going to zoom in. You're going to just get closer.
It won't let me zoom in because it's like that window within a window thing.
Oh.
So it like, it doesn't let you zoom. It just all right,
watch.
Makes
He's walking up.
Bigger.
He's walking up. He's going to get there. No. Shit.
Couldn't quite tell there either.
You're going to have to assume that's a 44.
Yeah, that's a 44 on it. So.
Yeah, I'm out. I think. Not a 1 ton in that. I'm out.
There we go, right there. 6 lugs.
Six lug. Yeah.
Yep. 6 lug.
Like
44.
But I don't like it enough that I would pay money for.
It I'm okay with it. I think you could 40s. Run 37s on those.
Yeah. Not for me.
I'm also a no.
Also tritone paint.
Not I'm a man of culture. This is my
tritone.
Culture.
I love the visor, but outside of that, I'm kind of out.
I like the chrome mirrors.
So, yeah. All right. So, let's see. We're going to move on to the next thing, which is, where'd it go? This one.
Oh.
Okay. O2.
I've seen a couple of these done up like this.
Sport track. 4-door. So, you know, it's an Explorer.
Yeah.
But it's a truck. It's an Explorer truck. So this has got a 5-speed in it, 4-inch lift, it says, posi rear, glass front fenders, new engine, new clutch, riding on brand new Falcon 37-inch meats, it says.
You could eat them if you get lost in the woods.
LED light bar and fog lights in the front. Rear bumper is custom made with tow receiver, sport track extended bed, really come in handy, it says.
Oh, I hate the last line I can see on this already.
It also has a custom work rack in the bed for going to Home Depot. The AC blows ice cold and the rear window slider is really cool. Everything works, has a Kenwood stereo and Bluetooth and hands-free microphone. The interior is very clean and the seats are all perfect. It's registered and currently smogged in my name. Prefer to transfer clean at DMV counter if possible.
Sean knows how that goes.
Yes. Yep. This is a cowboy truck booty whomper sport track 4 doors, air down and take your friends on the sand dunes and have some fun.
Wow.
That seems like there's too many things that happened before he stopped that sentence.
I enjoy that.
So 7,700
takes this thing to Home Depot. No Lowe's.
Well, that's what. Yeah, it's got to be Home Depot.
Well, Home Depot's for contractors. Lowe's is for homeowners.
Another podcast that I enjoy listening to. They always say Lowe's is for skirts. So, here we are. God.
So that's a stock front axle, just lift setup. I thought it was going to be.
Their IFS.
That's not a perfect seat. That seat's not perfect.
Stock for next. Their IFS.
Well, no, but I've seen some of these where people solid axle swap them and do like a Dana 30 high pinion or something in there.
This is gross. Just got control arms and the torsion bar still.
It seems.
I think I'm going to be the first to say it. I think sport tracks are cool, but I'm not into this one. I'm on the trifecta, the 3 of 3, no.
I'm out because he lied about the seats. Said they were perfect and you could see some weird wrinkle things happening on that driver's seat and I'm out.
I can tell that the tires, it's misaligned.
Yeah, that is not doing great.
A little bit.
Why would you take that picture?
It's also like, it doesn't look that big for 37, so that's kind of impressive.
They look kind
of
oddly small.
You know, maybe you just, I don't know.
You're not wrong. That does.
They do seem
small. I wouldn't have guessed that those were 37s.
I'd have said 35s looking at it.
Yeah, but those are 37-inch meats, guys.
Meats, yeah.
Oh, they measure out to 35s when you go to inches.
Yeah. It's so
they're 35 meats tall.
When you measure them in meats, yeah.
I'm gonna back Sean up on this because I have seen some cool ones before that I've been like, huh. I like where that's going. But this one's a no for me.
Yeah, I'm also no, just I think I said it already. I've seen some with the twin traction beam fronts, I've seen some with the solid axle swap that are pretty rad, like desert looking builds. But this is too little too late.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's too late, huh?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I don't know if we've ever come across this in like on the podcast, definitely not, but just talking about things in real life. These were kind of ahead of their time.
Like, they were.
Yeah.
This truck came out like at the wrong time. No one cared about this or the ZR2 Colorado that was like this generation or this era. It was also a four-door short bed. People thought they were dumb. And then all of a sudden, in like, you know, whatever, 05, 06, when Tacomas and the next generation of the Colorado and like all these things started to come out in four-door short beds, people liked them. Yeah. It's the same idea. It just didn't work. And these were pretty good looking trucks. Like I thought they were pretty okay.
Yeah. They were kind of cool. I mean, I did do a research dive on them when I was between vehicles at one point, was like, man, cause you can get them pretty cheap, like pretty surprisingly cheap.
And it's a
4.0. And not all of them are piles of crap, which is surprising.
Yeah.
So
I think you can get the 4.0 V6 with a manual transmission in them as well at some point.
Well, this one's got a manual.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then you definitely, I did my research and I'm pretty sure you could do it. Yeah.
I don't remember what engine those had from that generation.
I think it was the same as the Explorer in that generation.
Right. But I don't even know what engine those had either.
I think it was a 4-liter Ford V6.
Let's see.
I'm going to make my guess.
Making your guess. 4-liter. Yeah, the Kelong.
It's a terrible name.
Yeah. So, yeah, which...
It's one of those engines that nobody talks about.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything good or bad, but necessarily not anything terrible either. They used them for a long time, from what I remember.
They're in a bunch of Rangers. Yeah. They're in a bunch of Explorers. And everybody who has them, has them. And that's about as much as they talk about.
That's as far as it goes.
So, but I mean, at least they're not complaining about them, which is a step ahead of a lot of other things. So,
hey, I've been looking for something in the background I want to tell you about, Mike.
Mm.
Guess what vehicle still has crank windows?
Who?
It's close to home. You got to be able to guess.
A Miata?
This. Nope.
Oh.
Closer.
A CRV.
The F-150?
Wrangler.
The Wrangler. Really?
Oh, that makes sense because that one I can take the doors off.
So I should say in 24, I haven't looked at 25 yet, but they're all.
No, it would make that would make sense still too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Makes
well,
the doors lighter.
Here's the last one. I saved this one for last. All right. Yeah. You're doing it a lot. I saved this one for last, but it doesn't apply to the height thing.
Nice. Okay. It's Twister
because I wanted to save it for last.
Oh, yes.
We've got a 99 Land Cruiser Troopy FZJ75, and this one's local to us.
Yes.
Because dem boys at the Fit Garage have put this thing together. It's tan. It's got a white top. That's an alu cab. Those are the 1552s, right, Sean?
Yeah, the analogs.
Those wheels are.
Yeah,
yeah, in gray with some skinny tires, because it's a Troopy and that's what all the Troopy guys like to do.
I think that's a rule.
It's got a bumper and a tire on the.
Those
bumper.
Might be Nomads though, because don't they have a hang out with the Nomad guys?
Those are 52s.
Yeah, but those are 52s.
Okay, I thought Nomad was trying to make those kind of. Classic-y looking wheels.
I mean, they though. Yeah, that is their shtick, but yeah, those are 1552s. So,
okay,
we are looking at a whole 188 horsepower out of the 1FZ.
That's too much.
It's a 5-speed. Big surprise there. It does have Shielmans in it, which you know, there's it does. 6-8 grand right there. It's pretty clean though. It's clean little troopy with stuff done to it. The bench made to match the Shielman's.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, in the back there, but nothing else in the back. So ready for your overland
twist on it.
Yeah, your overland bits. And he currently has it listed at 98,000.
Yeah,
is that it?
Email AlexWillis at thefitgarage.com.
Heck yeah. I'm a big fan of this. It's no no secret. I like troopies like this, and it's Alex's fault completely. But one thing that I enjoy about this that's a little different, it's left-hand drive, which I think is great because it's so much
it is
more
left-hand
normal,
drive.
Usable.
Yep.
It's gas, and I haven't driven a 1FZF, the carbureted one. But, I didn't hate the engine in my Land Cruiser, and that with a manual would be pretty engaging, I feel like. Like, it's not going to be fast by any means, but they're big straight sixes, so, everybody loves a straight six. They're cool. And those tops are awesome, and it needs to build out inside, and, once you do that, that thing's perfect. It's a ton of money, but unfortunately, that's what they cost. That's not really
that's one of those is what it is.
It's fully restored and it has, $20,000 worth of AluCab top on it. So yeah, it's a ton of money, but, if it was diesel and had a full build out in the back and it would cost $40,000 more, which is stupid, but it would.
Yeah.
Someone would pay.
I could see that as well.
So it's hard to see him. But Nomad makes exactly that wheel now.
Oh, my God.
The 504.
I deserved that after looking up the manual and their thing, by the way. I'm fully aware of this.
The Nomad 504 just came out. It's in that same color.
Now I have to... Now I got to scour this to see if
he says,
it says
it does.
What,
Control F.
What wheels.
Control
it's
F, a,
it
Nomad.
Says it.
Yeah, it says what? Where?
I caught it in there at some points in that last paragraph.
Last paragraph.
I think, yeah. Right there. Nope. Next one down. Sorry.
You said right there. Distinguishing features?
Yeah. About the middle, right above Shielman.
1552. So there you go. See? So
yeah.
He was right, but you also were right.
Yeah. Nomad is just straight up copying those. If
big,
you look at the
big
wheels.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
They added
right,
two
so
windows.
Sean,
they're completely different.
Sean was right. Was a yes, correct?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I still struggle because I don't want to be that guy.
I can't afford it in real life, but in would you pay money for that life? Yes. I would camp with the kids and the family, and it would be comfortable, and it would do most of the things we ever need to do. And I'd get a little bit wider of attire.
I think for me, it would get to, it would be one of those, if I was in it, I'd be like, could have had a Defender for this price. So I'm a no.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fair. I feel like that's what I would say to my, if I got that instead of a Defender for any price.
Right.
Got that instead of a Defender.
You'd wish
and,
that you
and
had
I would
Defender.
Just be like,
yeah.
Man, I could have just had a Defender and it,
to
because
me,
it does more for me.
To
you
me,
know?
It doesn't matter what rig it is. It's this build out and the way that it's done to
yeah,
me. Because I'm like,
this build
having
out,
the AluCab, having
perfect
the,
on a,
yeah.
on a 110, I'd be like,
yeah,
I'd be solid.
I wouldn't be mad if this was done to an 80 series. I wouldn't be mad if this was,
you would be mad if it was done to an 80 series because they don't have the right space.
I know,
space.
But I'm talking about this amount of setup. If it fit well and it was done correctly, if it was the top, oh, who the heck makes it? Ursa Minor top on a JK in a similar build out. That's something that I'm interested in. Now, in that same sentence, I'll sell the Jeep in a heartbeat and put a Project M or a GFC on the back of the F-150 and small lift 35s and go get a YJ and do all that before I did any of these other things anyway. But I'm not in those positions. Not yet. Not now.
Fair enough. Colin, I saw a crew cab Defender for sale on Facebook Marketplace that is pretty rough and pretty cheap. I was going to send it to you and I forgot.
Oh. It's, will he take a ZR2 and trade?
I don't know if you want to do that. I'm sure he would because your truck is worth more.
No, here's the deal is you gotta take I might want to do that, but my wife and kids will not want to do that.
Probably no.
That's the post kids
change.
And I'll have the ability to, you know, and some time and whatnot to make it, you know, a little more up to standard when it comes to noises.
Yeah.
And vents and things like that.
I have a someday of doing a YJ out, making it a little bit stretched and having just me and a tent cot because nobody else wants to go with me and Miles is too old. Or we'll have two tent cots because Miles will be the only one who wants to go with me in the some days and like a super lightweight build someday. It'll never happen, but it's a thing I think about when I'm alone with my thoughts.
When I'm alone, crying in the shower alone.
Yeah. No, I don't shower alone anymore. Ted is about the shower.
Mm.
He just sits there and watches me. And I'm like, it's weird.
You should clarify.
Ted's his dog.
Yeah. Thank you.